Good morning. Joining you remotely today, we're going to start with a little prelude as everyone's getting on, and then we'll have our time of reflection upon the scripture and my message. Glad to be with you. See, you and Ann are watching from Houston, Texas, and we celebrate a successful procedure for Ann out there in her surgery. I hope y'all got Holly there listening with you too, and Ann is in good shape with those girls taking care of her. Lisa got ill herself and couldn't go down, so I know her heart is heavy that she couldn't be with Mom and her sisters, and I can only imagine the joy and the laughter they've had amidst the challenges and the anxieties of and surgery. But Ann, you've been in our hearts and prayers, and we celebrate that with you this morning. Can y'all hear me okay, or do I need to talk a little louder? That's usually not one of my problems, needing to talk louder, but just post there Judy, if you would, or someone who has their keyboard handy. Hey, Betty, good to see you. Sally and Fred, Shay, we are so excited to have all of you joining us. Kim Knight Nix, daughter of this church, glad you're on with us this morning. And Jennifer, we will be prayerful for Albert Griffin. Albert's an old friend of a lot of us, and sorry to hear of his passing. We'll be prayerful for his entire family. Hey, Rita, good to see you this morning. My dear friend Paula from Corinth. And if I don't say hi to everybody, know that I do greet you with the love of the Lord this morning. As we begin our time Many of you received the message, and some of you didn't, but that's okay because you're on here now. Hey, Michael Watson, continuing to pray for healing and wholeness to you all as you all grieve the loss of your mama. Good to see Miss Shirley Huddleston in the technology wave. Some of you may have go to our Facebook page after the sermon. Don't go in while I'm preaching now. I don't want you skipping me and the fun we're going to have together. But Ginger Britt posted some photos from our anniversary that we celebrated in 2017. I think it was 180th. I believe that's right. If I'm wrong, y'all correct me. But it's so great to see friends from times gone by and those many of who've gone on to glory that were a part of that great celebration. So go back and reminisce and share in that. God has been gracious to this church and to the ministry that we've been allowed to be a part of in the history of serving Ripley and the community around us. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect and we're always right. We've had challenges just like we all do individually and as families. But through God's grace, we've been restored, we've been forgiven, we've been renewed to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. Isn't that great? Maybe that's enough sermon right now. We could say amen and go home. But just good to be with y'all today. We're going to spend a few minutes, as we've shared in our time of prelude and Lynn's beautiful prelude that this morning. The name of that song I want to share with you because it will certainly be appropriate to our sermon. The name of that song is "The King of Love, My Shepherd, is Jesus." So thank you, Lynn, for sharing that beautiful prelude for us this morning. Hey, Gary, good to see you out at Spout Springs, Mississippi. Glad you're with us this morning. If y'all would continue to post any prayer concerns, any joys you want to share. As I lifted up Ann Wigington, we do celebrate the joy of her successful procedure. We continue to lift up my uncle Danny Will Banks, who is feeling the symptoms of brain cancer, and those are getting more pronounced here in recent days. So lift up Danny and his family. We celebrate my mom's recovery. Her eyes are getting better. Don't think they'll ever be what they once were, but we celebrate every small step of recovery there. Many of us who have been inundated with the Omicron variant, we pray for God's blessing and comfort and healing to those. Keep our community safe. The numbers are very high. Many of the schools in our areas have closed. So we're prayerful, especially for our health care providers and our school workers, people who are in constant contact with others, that God would give them a special hedge of protection. So good to see you, Shirley McLean, and glad you're on with us this morning, Mom and Dad. And Manya's joining, I think, in the other room. She's herding the dog, so that's quite a challenge in itself. So she and Noah are keeping the dog settled. We're joining you this morning remotely, as many of you are. Session decided to go ahead and go remotely today as a result of the increased spread of the Omicron in our area and also because of the treacherous weather for many of us. Okay, I've probably rattled on enough, but I wanted to give everybody time to get on. Please continue to post any prayer concerns or joys that you have. We'll lift up the prayers of the people. Jennifer, if you see any that I missed, please remind me toward the end of the message, and we'll give special prayer with one another and for one another our time today. This is just going to be about a 30-minute service, so hang in there with us and to share our time together today. Let's lift up together a prayer for illumination, and we will share a reading, if you want to find it in your Bible, from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. John 2, verses 1 through 11. Hey, Diane, good to see you from Arkansas this morning. We've got people from all parts and places. Right now, the Wigington girls have won the award for the furthest distance down in Houston, Texas. Hey, Paula Jordan, glad you're here. Elizabeth, good to see you. Okay, dear friends, so John chapter 2, we'll share that reading from verses 1 through 11. Let's pray together. Oh God, as we reflected on in our sermon last week, you, O Holy Spirit, are a gift to us. You sustain us and you strengthen us. And we approach you through prayer. You also inspire us and illuminate us. So even now, God, as we seek to worship you on this holy day, to give you thanks, to proclaim your glory and offer our praise, we can't even do that adequately, sufficiently, without your gift and presence, O Holy Spirit. And certainly to understand, if you do illuminate, if you light our path, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to give us the ears to hear the message that was crafted for us today individually. Work that miracle of grace between the words of this mouth and the ears of us all as listeners in need to speak to us a message crafted specifically for our journey, or maybe collectively as our church or community. We surrender our own desires, our own hunger for guidance to what you would have us to hear and receive, God. So will you come, O Holy Spirit, that the words of this mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. In Christ we pray. Amen. So our reading today for our sermon is from John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, as we hear this message today, I'm kind of intrigued that Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, is encouraged. He's inspired by the mother of himself, the mother of our church, the mother of our journey of faith to God, because she gave birth to the life of the Savior. And one thing that really stands out to me as we begin reflecting on this text is that Mary petitioned Jesus in a time that seemed like he was most in need. Did you hear it where John says the wine had gave out? She didn't take action, and Jesus didn't take action when the wine was running low. It seemed like there was nothing left to do. The situation was hopeless. It had been exhausted. Now, sometimes we feel that way, right? Sometimes we wonder when God's going to show up. When's He going to give that miracle of grace to restore the water of our life to wine? And oftentimes, it's when we feel that it's completely exhausted, or we are completely exhausted. But perhaps then, when we are at the end of ourselves, perhaps then is when we're most receptive to let go and let God. I know that's been true in my personal life, and I'm sure for many of you that's been the case. So my prayer for you today is if you feel that you're completely exhausted, and at the end of yourselves and the wine is given out in your life, that you'll allow Jesus to transform through His miracle of grace what we can't do alone. I'm going to share with us another acronym. I had rave reviews last week with the acronyms, and many of us appreciate those to help us to kind of give a reminder of how to apply the reflections upon our sermon in our daily lives. So the acronym I want to share with us today as we focus on the Spirit last week is the acronym SERVE. Because more than anything else, that's the theme that seems to come to the front to me in our text today as Jesus and Mary equip the servants at the feast to bring restoration to what seemed like a doomed celebration of marriage and life and love. Isn't that what God does to each of us as Jesus serves us and calls us to serve those around us? So let's reflect today on that great gift of servanthood that we are equipped with and that we are called to share with those around us. As we consider the acronym of that word SERVE, let us apply it in every way to our daily journey, our vocation of life and ministry, as we seek to live out our faith with trust in Christ and service to those around us. So the S of serve, it reminds us that as a servant, as a follower of Christ, we are sent. We're sent. Jesus trusts us to go in His name to those around us. Wow. Could you consider that for a moment? That you and me, in our brokenness, in our imperfection, in all of our shortcomings, God looks upon us and says, you know, you are the one that was made specifically for this job, this task. I will send you. As the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, that great call story where God said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah, in his sinfulness, as he said, woe is me, I'm a sinful man, I live in the midst of a sinful people, and I'm in the presence of the Lord. And as he was transformed through God's grace and forgiveness, God said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Friends, servants are those who are sent. Did you hear that's what Mary petitioned and called those at the wedding feast, those who were listed as servants? She said to them, do whatever he asks you. Think about that for a minute. Let that soak in, Christians. Isn't that our chief vocation of our faith? To do whatever he asks us. That's what it means to take up being sent. We can't be sent if we're not willing to do what the Master says do. That's what servants embody in their daily task to make those that they're in service to lives better. So servants, first and foremost, are sent. So as we seek to serve our God and for His glory, may we have an eager willingness to be sent and do the things that he would have us to do. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes I get ahead of God. I have a plan of where I want to go, and my prayer is often this: God, I got a great plan. If you'll just bless it and give me this and come alongside me, we can do great things. How arrogant of me. And how short-sighted when we get ahead of God. What if we turn it around like the servants in our text today and willingly just listen to the direction of God and do what He says? Then we will serve through Christ's love, for God's glory, and through the joy of our salvation. So that's the yes of what it means to serve, is to be sent. The E of serve is to equip others. Equip or enable or empower others. Equip is the word that most easily resonates with our text today. You see, that's what the servants did. They saw those six stone water jugs that hold 20 to 30 gallons that were made for a specific purpose. And what the servants did, they equipped them. They filled them to the brim. They gave them the power, the empowerment to serve those around them. Wow. What a call to ministry. When we're willing not only to do what we want to do, the things that are going to make our lives better, but if we equip others, friends, that's true service. As many of you have heard me speak of before, when we think of the word leadership in our faith, one form of leadership is to inspire other people to greatness, to be better, the best part of themselves. But another aspect of leadership is not only to inspire them, but to make them leaders as well. When that happens, there's a transformational aspect to our faith. In other words, let's talk about it like in personal evangelism or introduction to our faith or making disciples. It's one thing to make ourselves contagious where we inspire others to want to follow Jesus. But what if we not only inspire one at a time through addition, but we equip others who will inspire others? We teach others to be teachers. We mentor others in the faith who will go forth and mentor those beyond us. That is the equipping that God uses for those who serve. Those servants in our text today equipped the jars to be filled to the brim and to serve others, to live out their purpose. Friends, may we as servants seek to equip and empower those around us, God's children, our brothers and sisters. Okay, so the R of servanthood is not only do we equip others, but we ourselves, friends, when we serve, the R reminds us that we are reconstructed. We are remade. You see, that's what happened to the jars themselves. We were talking about those who served, the servants, their interaction with the jars. They equipped them to give the jars to others. But what about the jars themselves? When servants came in contact with the jars, and Jesus, the great servant of all, the shepherd, as we heard in our prelude this morning, that's what it means to serve, it's to shepherd others. When Jesus took on the ministry of serving the jars, they were reconstructed. They were remade. Their purpose was transformed from being simply water bearers for existence to wine givers for life, joy, and fullness and celebration. Wow. Could it be that we, in our willingness to serve, that God looks upon us and says, I want to remake you. I want to reconstruct you so you can know the joy of the celebration of the feast and the banquet, yes, in heaven, but even more fully now. Goodness gracious, friends. You see, when we serve, yes, we equip others. But there's a blessing to us because we are remade. Imagine if we were the jars in this text today. Our existence of simply going around toting water, that's a Mississippi term for you all that hadn't heard the word toting. They were transformed to something that gave feast and celebration, the wine and the sustenance from the fruit of the vine. God wants to do much the same with you and for you and with me. He wants to reconstruct us, remake us to the best part of ourselves. And when we're willing to serve, that's what happens. That is indeed the art of serving, is to be reconstructed, a new purpose. May we embody that purpose, that call upon our life. The D of serve, it's when we value others ahead of ourselves. Now I've gone to meddling, right? How in the world do we do that? Let's be honest, Jody. I mean, that sounds pretty. That's nice to value others, to put others ahead of yourself. But can we really do that? Friends, I'm convinced when we get it right, that's when we know the most joy in life. It's when we value others ahead of ourselves. So often it's about me, mine, and my time and what I want, right? You know, when I think about my ministries, I spoke of this week, and many of you saw an article that was written by the DeSoto County News, a great article about my ministry at the seminary, and part of the heading said chief servant for future ministers. But those are the words I used in my time of sharing with the Rotary Club there in Olive Branch. I said, you know, I often sign legal documents. I've shared this with some of you before. On behalf of the seminary, they want a place for the signature of the chief executive of the institution. But I share with our students, with our faculty and staff, and with our community that more than a chief executive of that institution, I see my role as a chief servant of that institution. And I don't say that so y'all will think greater of myself. I say that because I think that embodies most of all the nature of Christ as we seek to lead, to value others ahead of ourselves. Now, does that work in the real world? Maybe that's what you're saying. Jody, is this just preacher talk? I've got a business to run. I've got a team I've got to try to motivate. I've got a family I've got to encourage. And you're telling me this wimpy stuff of valuing others and saying we're going to all sing Kumbaya and hug and just put them ahead of ourselves? I have needs too, Jody. Get real. Yes, friends, I'm convinced if we truly embody that nature to value others ahead of ourselves when we get it right. You want to talk about transformational leadership in your business, on your ball team, in your family? Friends, that's when lives are changed. If you want others to follow you, serve them. If you want to be a leader, be the first to serve. Jesus said, those who want to be first have to be last. And then the last become first. When we serve, we truly embody the nature of our Lord. We truly transform and inspire those around us. There was a basketball player plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis is his first name, from Greece. It's called the Greek Freak. He's a phenomenal athlete, 24 years old. And he said, when I get it right in leading this team, it's when I stay humble. When I live for today, if I start remembering the past, everything I've done, my mind gets clouded. If I start looking to the future, what I'm going to do tomorrow, my mind gets clouded. More than anything else, I want to enjoy the journey, and I want to help my teammates, and I want to serve them. You see, he gets it. And what do they do for him? They'll run through a brick wall for him. That's what I often say about my ministry with you and at Ripley and beyond with our seminary. When we serve each other, we'll go to bat. We'll do anything for the other because we value the love that they value in us. The V of serving is indeed a valuing others ahead of ourselves. All right, one more. The E of serve. When we do these things, and it's not all encompassing, these are some of the principles that are present in our text today. As the servants did what Mary called them to do, as they valued the feast ahead of themselves and their own needs. But when we embody all of these natures, here's what happens. What we truly do, the E, the last E of serve, is that we embody Jesus. In other words, we become Jesus to the world around us. Now you're saying, man, that sounds heretical, Jody. But isn't that what we're called to do? Scripture says to be Christ to the world around us. Jesus called us, meaning us being the church, friend. We are the bride of Christ. So that means we are to continue Christ's work in the world around us now. We are to be Christ to those around us. Embody Jesus. We're the only hope to give Jesus to this world. But here's the good news. When we embody Jesus, we get to see the miracles of His grace. Wow. Did you hear it happen in our text today? The servants, our text said, knew where the wine came from, although the chief steward didn't. They were in the know. They got to experience the miracle of Jesus' transformation of the world around Him. Friends, when we serve, we get to be part of God's miracle. But here's what happens more than anything else, more than it just being about us and us serving and being part of the miracles. Jesus uses the miracles to transform us and to give us grace. In other words, Jesus our Lord uses miracles to serve us as His children. Did you hear it happen in our text today? As those who were at the feast were blessed and nourished and received joy because of the miracle that Jesus gave, do you believe that God loves us enough to still serve us through the miracles of His grace? So friends, may we, as those who seek to serve this world, know that most of all, we're inspired to be servants because Jesus first served us. As He said in Mark 10, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to give His life as a ransom for many. Thanks be to God for the miracle of life we have through our Savior. May we serve the world through His love and for His glory. Amen. All righty, dear souls, let's together now lift up prayers for one another and with one another for miracles of God's grace, healing and wholeness in their lives. Will you pray with me? God, we thank You for Your church that ministers to us and nurtures us. We're grateful that we can worship together to give You thanks and praise even in our separation, but our connectedness through this technology and virtual gathering. So we thank You for this holy day that we are restored and made more in Your image. May we do the same to the world around us. We pray for Your church. Your church, oh God, may we never forget it's not our church. It's not our will be done, but Yours. Your church is Your people. It's not a place, not a building, it's not a denomination. It's people who share your love. Glorify your name. We pray for all of them who serve and minister in your name. If those who are not against us are for us, your scriptures say. We pray, God, for our nation. So much division and opinions, attitudes. May we strive, O God, to find the things that unite us more than anything that divides us. The good that we can do together. Renew the hearts and minds of those who represent others on state, county, and city governing bodies, our local economies, our job creators, the working men and women who provide the goods and services we need. We just ask in every way we can that you bring healing to our land as we ask your forgiveness for our individual destruction, that we humble ourselves and give you back the reins of driving us forward in our preferred, in your preferred future for our land. We pray for church and family members who are facing illnesses, sickness. I remember, too, we want to pray for Beth Garner. Beth is going through some very serious health concerns. She's in the hospital at Corinth, and we continue to lift up her. Kent and his recovery, Kent Montgomery, who went to a specialist this week, we pray for him and Margaret. We ask you to continue to bless Ann and her recovery and restoration. Miracles of grace, we celebrate your working already in her life. We do pray for Albert Griffin's family, that they'll be comforted and sustained, knowing that he is your child of grace. And God, even the names that go unspoken today, we all come with wants and desires. Most of all, may we set those apart and be obedient servants of you. May you restore us, O God, through forgiveness. May you give us miracles of grace, whether the needs be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational. You are the physician, the restorer. And now, God, we pray for ourselves. I pray for everyone who's listening with us as they all pray for me. Will you transform us into your servants to the world around us? Will you give us what we need even beyond what we ask, God? As we pray for your grace, your miracles of restoration for each of us and with each other. So now, as your faithful children, we join our voices as one and we say together in prayer the words you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So good to be with y'all today. I pray that this message will sustain you and strengthen you for your journey this week. May God's grace uphold you every day and throughout your life. God bless you.